Bookworms are often reserved people, but as journalist Kathy Dobie describes in her new memoir, The Only Girl in the Car, her early love of reading gave her a sense of possibility that was missing from her life.
Talk about first impressions being fickle. After reading the opening chapters of Kathy Dobie's memoir, The Only Girl in the Car, which describe her childhood in Hamden, Connecticut, and the personalities of her parents and five siblings, I thought the book was mildly interesting, especially given that Dobie explores my own home turf of growing up Catholic in the 1960s and 70s. By the time I finished it, however, The Only Girl in the Car had gained the stature of an important book, the way other women's autobiographies, like Anne Moody's Coming of Age in Mississippi and Kate Simon's Bronx Primitive, are important, not just for the forcefulness of their individual life stories, but for what they add to the collective storehouse of information about the truth of different women's lives. No other memoir I've ever read has described a girl's coming of age with such frankness about sexual desire and sexual humiliation. The Only Girl in the Car also dramatizes how the seismic changes of the 1960s left a lot of adolescent girls, like Dobie, stranded, without a reliable roadmap telling them how to act as young women, what new pitfalls to avoid, what old social boundaries they could realistically hope to transgress. In the early 70s, Dobie's stay-at-home mom was still a lady in the 1950s mode, but contemporary music and pop culture were telling the teenage Dobie to be a cool hippie chick without hang-ups, like Peggy Lipton on the Mod Squad. What Dobie discovered, however, and what The Only Girl in the Car vividly documents, is that free love was still pretty much a male-only adventure. Yearning for the intimacy and attention that was hard to come by in her large family, the 14-year-old Dobie began dressing in tight jeans and halter tops and replacing her mother's vision of her with the gaze of men and boys. Displaying herself one afternoon on the front lawn of her parents' house, she reels in a 30-something loser driving by in a car. That night, she meets this guy to go to the movies, and with a steely resolve, loses her virginity. What follows is a whirlwind of sex with different rowdy boys, most of whom frequent the town's teen center. One of the most touching scenes in this memoir is when Dobie recalls how, one evening, four black boys who hang on the outskirts of the otherwise all-white center ask her to go on a car ride with them. Not to have sex, but to warn her that she's getting a reputation and keeping treacherous company. A short time later, she goes on another car ride with four other boys, three she thought were friends, one she thought loved her, and they gangbang her. Dobie admits she must have whispered the word okay before the horror began, because after all, that's what those boys expected of her. The boys, of course, brag about that night they spent with Dobie the dirtbag, and she becomes the town's teen pariah. That's another precious aspect of this autobiography, the way it dramatizes the rigid, categorical thinking inherent in adolescent culture. Dobie, according to the logic of teenage Tamden, got what she deserved. When she courageously tries to bluff things out and return to the teen center, she's literally stoned by the virginal girlfriends of the boys who had sex with her. Other boys, strangers, see her in a crowded park and surround her, cursing and throwing money at her. Here's how Dobie explains their twisted rationale. "They didn't know me, but I knew them, knew they were still virgins. And because I had gone, again and again, to the place they hadn't yet been, they hated me, even as they envied the boys I had sex with. I knew, too, that it gave them as much pleasure to hurt a girl, to poke her and see her twitch, as it would to make love to her. Either way, they would feel more like men when they were done." A love of reading partly got Dobie into this nightmare, because books gave her a sense of possibility that the real world couldn't fulfill. Literature also saved her. A high school English teacher confirmed Dobie's nascent sense of herself as a writer, and she eventually made it to college in New York City. I mentioned that 60s icon Peggy Lipton from the Mod Squad earlier, but the woman of the age whom the teenage Dobie really resembles is Janis Joplin, another sexual rebel who tried to claim boys' adventures as her own and psychologically and physically paid a horrible price. Janis more than even the score through her music. For Dobie, writing well is the best revenge.
Maureen Garrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Only Girl in the Car by Kathy Dobie. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Naomi Person, Monique Nazareth, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Patty Leswing, Ian Chillog, and Jessica Chu. I'm Terry Gross.